Hey, let's go back to the hotline and talk with John Norris.
John, are you with us?
John, good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Man, everything's good. Thanks so much for coming back on with us. We didn't scare you off the first go round you did, but
right.
John,
I was more worried that worked the other way around.
Man, I love this too. What a pro, man. He went and got on the landline because he knew it's got better reception or pickup
nice,
or whatever.
Nice.
So he's an experienced pro at this. But
yeah, for sure.
You always do such a great job, kind of breaking everything down for everybody. You're the chief economist and managing member at Oakworth Capital Bank. So. Man, tell us what's going on with everything and what you kind of see coming in the future.
Well, I got to tell you, things aren't too bad, but they're also maybe not as hot as they were at the end of last year.
Yeah.
The Bureau of Economic Analysis announced that the U.S. economy grew 4.8% during the third quarter last year and 3.2% during the fourth quarter. I mean, that's pretty robust growth, particularly when you think about everything that's going on,
yeah.
You know, the higher rates of inflation, the Fed increasing rates are keeping them higher for longer, and then we still accelerated into the end of last year. So the crystal ball doesn't have to be too clear to kind of make a forecast that, you know, it's going to be a little bit slower to start the year. The first and second quarters this year should be a little bit slower than what they were at the end of last year. We're already seeing that in January. I mean, if you're a car salesman, January is one of the worst months you ever had. Real estate didn't move that quickly. So we're expecting the first quarter gross domestic product report to come out a little bit softer than it was at the end of last year. It's not economic Armageddon, but instead of that 3.2, 4.8 sort of type number, we're expecting closer to something maybe 1.5 to 2. So not horrible, but certainly weaker in terms of the remainder of the year. A lot of that's just going to depend on what the Federal Reserve does.
Yeah.
Everyone is sitting around waiting for the Fed to finally cut the overnight rate. Right now, the markets are thinking it's going to be 325 basis point rate cuts. Chairman Jay Powell said that pretty much last week. And if they do that, then the cost of money will be less expensive in the economy. People will borrow a little bit more, spend a little bit more, and then we should have some better tailwinds in the back half of the year.
John, I saw you give a speech at one of the real estate things towards the end of the year, and I was trying to remember back exactly what you said, but there was something about some of the things going on basically may really kind of impact smaller banks, like more rural areas. There'd be more acquisition.
Yeah.
Has that sort of continued to happen, I guess?
Well, it hasn't happened sort of en masse or just like the tidal wave yet. I'm fully anticipating that probably happening. That's more of a trend than something that's immediate. But you might remember I said something along the lines of there's still 2,400 banks in the United States that have assets of $500 million or less, and that's really pretty small for all intents and purposes. And with higher interest rates for longer, and with what I would imagine to be their bonds and their bond portfolio on the bank balance sheet probably underwater, a lot of these banks are just going to be kind of constrained by their capital to, you know, not make as many loans. And if that's the case, they're going to have to figure out a way to grow. So a lot of these banks and small places, Dogpatch USA, you know, First State Bank of wherever, they're going to have to merge, or they're going to have to merge with someone in order to cut expenses and figure out a way to grow a little bit more rapidly.
Yeah. Well, you had a great point on it that, I mean, those are the places that provide a lot of the capital, you know, in the rural areas. And if they dry up, what happens? You know?
Yeah, for sure.
Well, you know, it's. I wish I could be a little bit more sanguine on that. I do think the rural America is going to have a very difficult time getting access to capital over the next decade or so. And really, what you're going to see, and what we've already seen, but it's just going to accelerate, is sort of the U.S. having two economies, one for its major urban centers, and then one for its rural economies. And the gap between the wealth gap and the income gap is probably will continue to grow, and that's very unfortunate.
Wow, that's interesting. I want to go back to what you were talking about the sort of hot growth in quarter three and quarter four of last year. And this is a civilian's question, so I'm asking, not telling. But is part of that a matter of just the natural delay? So, for example, to the degree that things were already in progress, was that sort of the explanation for some of that hot growth, notwithstanding some economic factors that would have seemed to militate against growth? And is that the reason the delay for those implementations starting to show up here in quarter one and quarter two of this year?
do you have an easier question for me? Come on.
Well, I mean, to me, I just wonder, economically, I would just suspect
that... I mean, it's 7:45 in the morning. Yeah, yeah.
I'm just thinking on the macro scale, right? And I remember there was such a thing back in school called macro and microeconomics. I don't remember what they were, but that exists. But on the macro scale, I'm just thinking it takes a second, right, for the gear to shift, even though some of the indices or some of the factors have been implemented to change it.
Well, I would say there were a lot of things going on last year. The government has thrown a lot of money at the economy. That's one.
Well, that's for sure.
Two, the labor markets remain relatively tight. And, we are a consumer-driven economy.
Sure, sure.
So whenever the economy is creating payroll jobs, whenever they're doing that, they're creating paychecks. And when they're creating paychecks, they're creating consumers. And that's virtuous for an economy such as ours.
Sure.
So
that's right.
You had some of those things going on. But then also, if you remember back to the first quarter of last year, we had that little hiccup in the banking industry, with Silicon Valley Bank and all that stuff. And it was a very weird period of time because loans just completely dried up. You actually saw loans on bank balance sheets decrease over like a several-month time frame, which is highly unusual.
Wow.
When people started feeling a little bit more comfortable about the health of the banking system by the second quarter, third quarter, you started seeing loan creation again. So that's kind of what happened there. So for all intents and purposes, we didn't get some of the growth that we would have had in the first and second quarters, and we just crammed it onto the third and fourth quarters.
Let me ask you that, John. I was talking with a banker this week, too, and just the real estate, sector in general, with all the, concern about one access to money for new projects. But he was saying, they're lending. It's more, specific now than it was just, kind of if it's a real estate project, let's fund it.
Yeah.
But he was saying, like industrial is still they're getting money for that, and even multifamily, which is amazing to me because I mean, dang, you see apartments being built, continue to be built everywhere, and it's
how much
like, God,
demand
who's going
be left?
Into these things?
Yeah.
Well, I got to tell you, first off, if you weren't talking to a banker at Oakworth Capital Bank, you really need to have been doing
That's right.
That's first and foremost. Second of all, what we're seeing with commercial real estate is it's not that deals aren't getting done, they're just getting done differently. Banks want to see a higher amount of equity. They want owner-occupied to as much as they can get it. And, the loan extension to CRE or commercial real estate has slowed down a little bit, and that's probably what a lot of folks on the other end of it are complaining about, just access to capital. However, historically speaking, it's still a pretty decent deal flow. It's just not as hot as it was. If you go back a couple of years, the banking industry was just throwing money at commercial real estate, and why not? I mean, interest rates were next to nothing. You could get a deal done very quickly. Now we've normalized it a little bit. So whenever you go from super hot growth to just growth, it's going to feel like a little bit more of a slowdown than it actually is for people on the other side of the equation. Now, in terms of what we're seeing with industrial, multifamily, and what have you, let me start with the second one. Multifamily, what you're seeing is, I think, some misallocation of capital just in general. In downtown Birmingham, we're seeing a lot of apartment complexes going up. We're going to turn the old AT&T building into residential, that stuff. And the reason why I say it's misallocation of capital is because pretty much all of Jones Valley is an opportunity zone. So you get all these tax credits and abatements and what have you to go in and invest in these areas. So it remains to be seen who goes into those apartment complexes or those multifamily. But that's kind of the reason why you're seeing those deals still get done. There's a huge tax incentive for a lot of people to do so. And then also there's a ton of money floating about out there. It's not just from the banks. It's from private equity. Yep. It's from retirement systems. So there's just still a ton of money chasing fewer deals out there in those sectors. Now, in terms of industrial, that was pretty depressed for a while, and so in a lot of ways we're just making up for it. And then the last primary one is office space, and everyone's worried about office space. I'll say it's a little bit different. I'm not necessarily worried about office space just in general. I will tell you this, it's going to be probably a while before we start seeing 70-floor skyscrapers getting done, just kind of around, but what we're going to see is businesses and business owners, instead of building new facilities, they're just going to completely redo their existing capacity and make them more attractive to future tenants and current tenants. So that's what we're going to see. We're going to have a huge build-out of existing structures that's going to actually increase office capacity, and that's not a bad thing.
Now, that's
so you're going to turn a bunch of old, you know, probably Class C now, office space into Class A, and that's going to be attractive for businesses who want their employees to get away from being remote and get back into the office.
Yeah. Hey, kind of one last question, just for, you know, general regular people like me out there, you know, seeing what you're seeing, is, would you say now you're talking about us being a, you know, a country of consumers, is it, would you be smarter kind of saving your money right now or continuing to spend, or what do you kind of land on that?
Well, I would always counsel people to save money as much as they can. You know, it's kind of like just making sure that you have enough for a rainy day. In terms of, you know, are prices going higher in the future? I mean, that's the reason why you spend a day. We're going to see inflation continue to moderate. Prices aren't going to go down, though. That's what's frustrating for consumers. You know, we hear people, we hear the Fed, we hear people that do what I do for a living talk about inflation coming down, but prices aren't coming down. Just the rate of growth is increasing at a decreasing rate. So we're still going to continue to see prices go up. So if you're a person that's been holding off on buying something, I would say go ahead and, you know, buy that TV if you really want to buy a TV. They're cheap as it is, and it just really depends on what your timeline is for a lot of stuff. And in terms of just where we're seeing the overall economy, you know, I'm probably not a bad idea to squirrel away a couple of extra nuts here every now right now at this point in time, in anticipation of maybe a rocky 2 or 3 months or maybe even 4 months moving forward.
Okay. Well, hey, man, we got to run. But again, thanks so much for being on with us. You're always fun to listen to.
Yeah.
And anything you'd like to wrap up with?
Man, guys, I just really appreciate you all having me. Obviously, a plug for Oakworth here. We love our clients. We'd love you to be one. And I got to tell you, I really enjoyed that previous interview that y'all had with Stephanie Mel. I might have to drive on up to Huntsville and check out Mazzara's.
Oh, yeah, right? I'm telling you, man, I want to go hit all of those and have fun with she, by the way. But, hey, enjoy the rest of your weekend, and we'll catch up with you again soon, okay?
Guys, take care.
All right, see you.
Yeah, that's John Norris, the chief economist and managing member of Oakworth Capital Bank.